it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is an inside look at the black and gold Bullseye, an official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. With us tonight, Senior Vice President of Football Operations, Assistant General Manager Kai Harley. Welcome again, my friend.
Thanks for having me again.
So, you know, 1-5 is 1-5, and the fact that you've had the ball in four games, really at the end with a chance to win games, is, you know, immeasurable. But it's not what you want to be, right? It is what it is. I hate to go back to Dennis Green. People have quoted Dennis Green for years, but there are a lot of positives to pull out.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I would say that nobody would have expected us to be, you know, 1-5 at this point. You know, but there are signs of progress. And yet, you know, someone once said, like, a while ago, years ago, they said, like, nobody cares about the labor. They just want to see the baby. Right. So, you know, we're not playing horseshoes here. So it's all about wins and losses. But within that, you know, we have been close. You know, we've had some progress with, you know, some of our younger players. And we feel like we're just getting ready to break that seal and hopefully get on a little run here at some point.
Fortunately, as your role as assistant general manager, working with Mickey and everybody, fairly healthy. I mean, you've got Isaac Yiadom. You've got some players that, you know, but not perfect, but you got Caesar back. You got Taysom back. Got Foster back, you know, Chase Young. I hate when I start listing because then I know I'm going to forget. And so you have not had to use practice squad elevations unless you kind of wanted to most recently.
There's some ebbs and flows with that. You know, this past week we only used one. You know, but the first few weeks of the season, we used two each week. So, you know, this game is a war of attrition. So each week, depending on your injury situation, is going to provide different opportunities for different players. So obviously, you know, three of the players that you mentioned missed the first 4 weeks, you know, of the season, Chase missing five. So, you know, it's good to have those guys back. And certainly let's knock on wood and hope we continue to have good health. We've stayed away from, you know, we've had some season enders, you know, already, but certainly we're healthier than we've been in some previous years.
The 21-day window is open for John Ridgeway. Now, he was an IR guy, not a PUP guy. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the 21, what are your options if you don't put him on the active?
So basically at the end of the 21-day practice period, you have a choice. You either activate the player to your active roster. He stays on reserve injured for the remainder of the year, or you can terminate the player. You know, it's one of those three.
Even though you can, during a season, I guess it would have to be two separate injuries, because you can go on IR two times. You just can't go back-to-back IR, come off, and then go back to IR.
You can. You can.
But it's for the season.
No, not in the current scheme.
Really?
Right. So if you remember, I believe that's what we did with Trevor Penning his rookie year. Is I believe he got hurt. We put him on IR. He returned and then came back. So a lot of times the math doesn't work out from the week's perspective or the game's perspective that they need to be down. But theoretically, if a player starts the season on IR, right, so they got to sit out those first four games, then say you activate them immediately at game five. Then they get hurt in game six.
You can put them back on.
Then you can put them back on IR. And then four games later, after game 10, they can come back, you know, as long as you have, you know, we're limited to 8 returns.
Right.
So as long as you have one of those returns available, that can happen. But I would say that that's not something that, that happens very often.
This would be because he came, he started practicing with Taysom and Foster. They've played in 2 games, so that decision time is at least on the horizon.
Yeah, we have one more week.
One more week.
Before we have to make a decision. So we can make a decision this week for this week's game, but we'd have to make a decision before next week's game.
This might feel a little weird, but when you don't have any international games, you don't have any of the primetime, does the team have any say in its bye week?
No. No, I mean the league.
If you had international games, you would a little bit, wouldn't you?
You can ask. That doesn't mean that that you will receive. You know. So certainly, when we've had some international games, there's been times where we've wanted our bye immediately afterwards. I would say the league will wait that for you, but there's no guarantee that they'll give it to you.
And this is not a question, you don't have to answer it. I'm just not a fan of the where one team has it week 5, one team week 8, one team week 12, one team week, it's not kind of equitable, and it feels like it could be equitable for the NFC South to kind of be, you know, around the same time. But it's, you know, yours have been week 11, week 12, week 11, week 14, and then you go back to week 6, week 6, they're wherever you are. Now, I know they love that Atlanta game.
Yeah.
It's like Alabama-LSU. You get your bye, and you play Alabama-LSU. And the NFL goes, well, where's that Atlanta game? All right, bye.
Yeah.
It feels like that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's another situation where you control the controllables. And, you know, you never can control when your bye comes. And you know, preferably if you had your choice in the matter, you'd probably want it mid-season every year. So, you know, you can take your inventory and figure out what you need for the stretch run, you know, without having too many games on the front end or the back end, if you have it, you know, early versus late. But at the end of the day, you can't control that. So when the schedule comes out, you look at it and you sort of see where your opponents are and how many teams are you playing off of their byes and,
right,
you know, who are you playing off of yours and that sort of thing. But it just becomes another landmine to navigate.
The trade deadline is November 4th. By the way, Michael Parenton's birthday is November 2nd. Don't want you to forget that.
Yeah.
And so I'm not crazy. I'm not. I know we're not going to sit here and talk about the trade deadline a great deal, but you do have to prepare. You have to have a list of no. You know, because you're going to get calls. So you have to be, irrespective of whether you want to do anything, you have to be ready.
Yeah, I mean that's the nature of our jobs, right? So every year, you know, whether you're doing great or whether you're not doing not so great, you're going to have to be prepared for what opportunities may present themselves. Certainly, you know, you look on the horizon and see what players may be available that may be able to help you, you know, that you might want to trade for. And then obviously you'll get some calls on your own players, and you have to decide whether the value is worth pulling the trigger on it. But it's certainly an exercise that you go through every season.
Take a quick break. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas talking with Senior Vice President of Football Operations, Assistant General Manager Kai Harley. We're back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, talking with Senior Vice President of Football Operations and Assistant General Manager Kai Harley in his second year as that role. Been with the team for 18, and we talk about it all the time, but the margins, and you're a former accountant, the margins in the NFL are so small. I don't know how much football you watched a few weeks ago. The Rams are playing San Francisco. There's almost no way the Rams will lose the game, right? They fumble at the one. I mean, going in for what was going to be the winning touchdown, and you know they end up losing in overtime. Last night, Washington has it third and one late. I bet their winning probability at that point was 90%+.
Yeah.
And they fumble the ball, and Chicago, your next opponent, takes it down and wins. I mean, the difference between 1-5 and 3-2 is so small.
Yes.
And I'm not making excuses. I know you're not going to either.
No.
It just is.
No, like the reality of it is that the talent differential from team to team isn't significantly greater than the other. Like, our league has parity, right? And I think that contributes to the popularity of our sport. Is every year 32 teams think they have a shot to make the playoffs, and all you want to do is get to the dance and you have a shot. And the number of teams that go from worst to first or middle of the pack or first to last, you know, it happens pretty frequently. You know, every year we, you know, typically have a quarter to 30% of the teams every year are new playoff teams than the prior year. So wherever you can find your advantages and the margins, you know, behooves you. And these games come down to final scores, right? So we've lost a number of one-score games, you know, this year. And yet, look, I've been here long enough to say, like, you know, you look back to our 2008 season, you know, we were 8-8 and we lost a lot of close games. And, you know, our edict going into the following season was we need to finish, right? We need to find a way to finish these games, finish these blocks, finish these drives, finish these games in order to get where we wanted to go. And that was, you know, a whole off season of focusing on that one thing. That's what prevented us from getting where we wanted to the year before. And we didn't want to allow that to happen, you know, for a subsequent season. And fortunately enough, things worked out pretty well that next season.
13-0, Super Bowl championship. Yes. Remember it well. Three of your next four on the road, trade deadline, all that stuff. This will be a closed ranks kind of time. I mean, you've seen teams, you know, point fingers. This is when you can lose locker rooms. This is a very important time.
Yeah, and that's where you lean on the character of the individuals that you brought into the organization, the character of the individuals that are still in the organization, whether you're talking about the Cam Jordans, the DeMario Davises, or the, you know, Alvin Kamaras. You know, these guys have played a lot of football. They've seen the highs, they've seen the lows, and they know how to prepare for a game, and they know how to tune out the noise. And look, this generation of players, you know, that are coming into the league, it's different than 20 years ago. When you talk about the media, you talk about social media, and the number of voices that they're hearing, you know, that can be hard. You know, and to have someone who's experienced those things to say, hey, you know, sometimes you need to turn it off or don't focus on that. You know, it's good to have other people to lean on who have been through those same experiences.
I mean, it's early. You haven't even played a division game yet, right? I mean, that part, don't even get me started on that scheduling aspect. That drives me nuts. But it's just about weathering the storm right now.
Look, contrary to the weathering the storm analogy, I'll just say it's about constant improvement and looking to get better. And what you're always looking for is you're looking to get the most out of your players, the most out of your team. And whatever that bar is for you, we want to push you to reach that. You know, and there's a measuring stick every week, and we got something to measure against on how we're going to move forward. And we're in a constant race to improve. There's a lot of teams that start off fast and they might win three games and then lose three games in a row, and now all of a sudden panic sets in. Or conversely, there's teams that lose three and then all of a sudden get on a run and are there in December and January. But whether you start off slow, start off fast, you consistently want to look for ways to improve, because that's the only way you're going to put the best product out on the field.
1-0 begins on Sunday in Chicago. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.